This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sport of Pro Wrestling podcast. I am Chris Samsa, and this is your New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax 30 Night 13 preview. G1 Climax 30 returns to its starting line with its third card of the tournament from Edion Arena in Osaka. When we last left Osaka, each wrestler had wrestled just once, and the first ever autumnal G1 Climax was in its infancy. The long and winding path of the A block will step back between the ropes in Osaka on October 12th for their seventh card of the tournament. A resurgent Kazuchika Okada will face Shingo Takagi in the main event in their first ever singles match. In the semi-main event, Kota Ibushi will face Minoru Suzuki in their first singles match since 2013. Third from the top, Will Ospreay and Taichi will meet for the fourth time in their careers, with this being the first time they're both truly heavyweights. And the block is filled out with a Bullet Club intra-faction matchup between Jay White and Yujiro Takahashi. And two big brawlers will open up the block matches as Jeff Cobb and Tomohiro Ishii renew their young rivalry. Of course, you can find my complete statistical breakdown for every competitor in this this year's G1 Climax at voicesofwrestling.com. I have interactive, sortable tables for NJPW's 2020, detailed results and statistics of every single G1 Climax match to date, as well as a full box score for this year's tournament at sportofprowrestling.com. And of course, you can let me know what you find when you drill down that data, or if you've just got a fun factoid that you figured out by dropping me a line on Twitter at TheChrisSamsa. Now, like I said, this will be the seventh A-block card. So only three more matches left for these A-block competitors. And this is going to come to us from Edion Arena in Osaka. So we're back at the starting gates of this year's G1. They're going to do one more card here in Osaka, and that's going to be on October 10th, 2020. The time is a little bit earlier than usual. It's 5 p.m. Japan Standard Time. That's 3 a.m. for me here in Chicago, 4 a.m. on the East Coast of America, 8 a.m. over in London. That's a great time. That sounds like a nice breakfast show. Of course, you can catch this card live or on demand on njpwworld.com. And if you're using njpwworld.com, you better be using the NJPWEXT browser extension. NJPWEXT is the only browser extension for NJPWWorld.com with features like synchronized viewing parties, dark mode, improved translations and layouts, custom and shared playlists, and much, much more. It takes NJPWWorld to the next level. Visit NJPWEXT.us today for details. Okay, so lots to get into here. We're in the back third of the G1 Climax. Last three block matches for each of these guys. Last three block cards for each block. Here we go. We have a lot to talk about. We've got some statistical probabilities. We've got a lot of stats from just this year's tournament to look at and see where these wrestlers are headed. But first things first, I've got to talk about my favorite possibility that can come out of tonight's card. And that's that right now, 8 of 10 wrestlers in the block sit within 2 points of the top, and at night's end, all 8 could feasibly be tied at 8 points, in what may very well be the largest and latest deadlock of its kind. So here's how the block could all land at an 8-way, 8-point tie. So we've got Okada at 8 points, facing Shingo Takagi at 6. So if Shingo wins that match, they're both at 8. We've got Kota Ibushi at 8 points, facing Minoru Suzuki at 6. Suzuki wins that match, they're both at 8. We've got Will Ospreay at 8 points, facing Taichi at 6. Taichi wins that, they're both at 8. We've got Jay White facing Yujiro Takahashi. Jay White loses to Yujiro. Jay White's at 8. Yujiro, not a part of the equation. And then we've got Tomohiro Ishii at 6 facing Jeff Cobb. If Ishii wins, he's at 8. Cobb, again, not a part of the equation. So it's not an outrageous scenario that could happen. All of those are believable losses. I would say that White losing to Yujiro might be the most surprising. But Tai Chi over Ospreay, Minoru Suzuki over Ibushi, and Shingo over Okada, like, those all sound feasible to me based on the level of those, all of those competitors. So I know what I'm rooting for, just because it would give me a lot of fun tiebreakers and math to do and assigning probabilities and things of the sort. So I am looking for that. I will place my bet with a parlay on all those things happening, so I can really have a fun day tomorrow looking at all the possibilities that come up with that. So, but right now let's take a look at results to date. Take a look at our box score. So we've got, like I said, Kota Ibushi, Kazuchika Okada, Will Ospreay, and Jay White. They all have 8 points. You've got another 4 wrestlers with 6 points. That's Shingo Takagi, Taichi, Tomohiro Ishii, Minoru Suzuki. You've got Jeff Cobb with 4 points and Yujiro Takahashi already eliminated, 0 points. He's 0-6, and he could not win the block here. So as for people who could be eliminated tonight, Jeff Cobb could be eliminated tonight. He very likely doesn't have a path to victory currently, just based on who faces who and who's going to have wins. But you always have to account mathematically for the possibility of double countouts or double knockouts or some, you know, a match having no points determined based on the results. So Cobb is not quite eliminated. He could technically still get to 10 points. Other than that, the 4 wrestlers at 6 points will have a really challenging path forward if they are not successful tonight, because they'll be 2 matches behind anyone who's currently sitting at 8, and they will only have 2 matches left. So they would only be able to tie, and the likelihood of one of those tiebreakers not being the person who wins the block or lands at the top of the block would be pretty slim. At this point in the tournament, winning streaks or losing streaks are pretty important. It seems that typically at the end of a tournament, it's usually not someone who's grabbing their first win in 4 that ends up winning the block here. So it's important to keep an eye on some of these guys with a winning or a losing streak. And if they're losing right now, it's important probably that this is the night that they turn it around and they can knock out 2 or 3 wins in a row. Things get pretty heated towards the end of the block time here. So let's take a peek at some of the winning and losing streaks of the A block. Will Ospreay has a winning streak of 3 matches. Kazuchika Okada has a winning streak of 3 matches, and Tomohiro Ishii has won his last 3 matches, the only 3 in the tournament that he has won. Shingo Takagi comes in with a 2-match winning streak. Jay White just won 1 match, so that's not even a streak. It's just he won his last match. So losing, on the losing side, Kota Ibushi lost his last match. Jeff Cobb lost his last match. Taichi's lost 2 in a row. Suzuki's lost 2 in a row, and obviously Yujiro Takahashi, already eliminated, has lost 6 in a row. So Ospreay and Okada, they're currently the probability leaders, and we'll talk a little bit about that calculation, but those 3 match winning streaks definitely come into play there. So let's look at stamina and efficiency. So stamina being, you know, the total match length, so who's going the longest, and then efficiency being who's winning in kind of the shortest amount or who has the best win-loss differential. So total match length, Shingo Takagi, 1 hour, 54 minutes, and 50 seconds. That's the highest in the block. So that represents stamina, of course, right? So lowest in the block, Yujiro Takahashi at 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 37 seconds. That's an average of just 11 minutes and 16 seconds in all of those losses. And so Shingo's average 19.08 is actually one of the highest in G1 history. The highest average match length in G1 history is Kazuchika Okada's 2019 G1 at 21 minutes and 2 seconds. If we look at average winning and average losing match length, the highest average winning match length right now in the block is Tomohiro Ishii at 20 minutes and 2 seconds. Of course, that's kind of stretched by the long win against Shingo Takagi. So that was the longest match in this block at 26.01. Shortest average win is Suzuki at 10.06. So that actually bodes really well for him, considering his loss time is 3.5 minutes longer than that. So he's got a really good win-loss differential, but not the best in the block. The best win-loss differential, so that's the winning match time subtracted by the average losing match time, does belong to Kazuchika Okada at 6 minutes and 37 seconds. The average loss for Okada is taking 20 minutes and 11 seconds. Average win, just 13.34. So I'm going to save some of the ring time analysis for tomorrow's show, previewing the next B block card, because there's a lot going on with the time metrics and Tetsuya Naito and Toru Yano, and I would like to kind of verbally explore what all of that means and what story may be unfolding with Naito in the B block as we preview that next card and their last three. I think it's especially important to talk through key tiebreakers for the A block. Now, we already talked about that scenario where they're all going to land with 8 points, and this would get really dicey then, and this would get really important then, too. But it's really important now already because there are 4 wrestlers at 8 points. So let's take a look at their key tiebreakers at the top, the very, very top of the block standings. I'm not going to go through the 6-point tiebreakers because I don't think that they are indicative of anything just yet. So wrestlers with 8 points, Kota Ibushi, he's got tiebreakers over Kazuchika Okada and Will Ospreay, both with 8 points, as well as Tomohiro Ishii, who has 6. Kazuchika Okada has 8 points. He has tiebreakers only over Minoru Suzuki and Taichi. So those are both 6-pointers. So I guess a little less important depending on what happens on this card. Will Ospreay with 8 points, he's got an 8-point tiebreaker over Jay White, but he's got 3 6-point tiebreakers, so Ishii, Suzuki, and Shingo Takagi. So if any three of them end up tied with Ospreay, he's still got the tiebreaker, so that sets him up really well. And then Jay White also has 4 key tiebreakers. Kota Ibushi, Kazuchika Okada, both currently tied with, and then Shingo Takagi and Taichi. So, you know, I would say that Jay White actually has statistically, he has the best tiebreakers to have right now. So that bodes well for the Switchblade. And that all builds into my favorite self-made metric. It's called weighted block win probability. And weighted block win probability is a weighted combination of points, maximum points, tiebreaker values, efficiency metrics, remaining opponents, elimination numbers, and your streak. So all the things we've kind of drilled down on our way here, and I wanted to talk through who's got the best and you know, especially of these top four, what is their probability of winning this block as we enter this 7th card. So the A block enters its 7th set of block matches with a lot of parity at the top of the block. The calculations for weighted block win probability weight a wrestler's points heavier than anything. So having 4 wrestlers tied with 8 points at the top of the standings leads to very similar data points. But the details shake out who has even the slightest edge going into the last 3 matches of the tournament. So Kota Ibushi has a 21.83% block win probability. So he actually has the best based on mostly his efficiency and his tiebreakers, because he does have 2 tiebreakers over 8-pointers. So he's got tiebreakers over Okada and Ospreay. So Kota Ibushi and Jay White are tied for the easiest strength of schedule going forward also, largely because they both have Yujiro Takahashi ahead of them, so a 0-pointer ahead of them. Jay White has an 18.83.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You can display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Percent. Block win probability. White benefits from having the most valuable tiebreakers with wins over two of the three wrestlers. With wins over two of the other three wrestlers sitting at 8 points, as well as 2 6-pointers. We just went through specifically who his tiebreakers are. Okada has the least valuable tiebreakers at this point. He lost to White and Ibushi, and he faces Ospreay on the last night of block competition. Okada also has 2 tiebreakers among the 6-point group. Each of his last 3 opponents in the block is currently within 2 points of the top. So Okada's got some really important matches coming up. Right now he's at 18.4% block win probability, so just over 3% less probable to win the block than Kota Ibushi. And Will Ospreay has had a very efficient tournament, just a 16-minute and 11-second average match length with a positive win-loss differential. So he's actually having a significantly different tournament in that way compared to his first G1 last year. He sees some statistical benefit from his evolving style. He's currently sitting with a 20.11% block win probability, partially driven up by his 4 tiebreakers, one of which is over 8-point Jay White. You can find my block win probability in a pretty graph, as well as just in a chart, on sportofprowrestling.com, as well as on my Twitter feed. I will be posting that there because I think it's really interesting to see how it all adds up. You put everything together and how do the numbers shake out, right? So right now, the low end of block win probability, Jeff Cobb, a 2% block win probability. So, I mean, once you put all the data points in, it does typically shake out. I'm curious to see what it'll look like after this card, especially if we get that scenario where 8 guys are tied with 8 points. That may open up a whole Pandora's box of things that I want to look at and include in this metric. So I don't know. It's fun. I'll spare you the full explanation. Maybe I'll do a side cast on that. But right now, I think we've got to get into the match by match. So the main event will be Kazuchika Okada versus Shingo Takagi. Kazuchika Okada entering at 8 points versus Shingo Takagi entering at 6. Shingo Takagi and Kazuchika Okada will deliver on a first-time dream match in the main event from Osaka. The last time we saw Shingo Takagi, he was defeating Kota Ibushi in another first-time dream match between two long-standing pillars of wrestling outside of NJPW. Tonight, Takagi will attempt to do the same against resurgent and an even younger New Japan legend, Kazuchika Okada. Okada enters this match tied for the top of the block, but it almost seems like he got there on accident. Okada has looked less than dominant in his first 6 matches, but he has somehow found a way to win 4 of them. His 2 most recent wins have been via seated cradle for a pin, first over Jeff Cobb, and then over his longtime rival, Minoru Suzuki. Before succumbing to pinfall temptation, in his last 2 matches, Okada had been dedicated to his submission hold, the Money Clip. That hold had finished Okada's previous 9 winning falls. It is unclear why Okada abandoned his long-standing impact finisher before that, the Rainmaker, but Shingo Takagi is not a likely candidate to submit to any hold. Only John Moxley has caused Shingo Takagi to submit in a New Japan ring, and that was via a Texas Cloverleaf during last year's G1 tournament. Shingo has quietly stayed in contention during this tournament. He lost his first two matches to Jay White and Jeff Cobb, but he has since won three of his last four, and he currently sits only 2 points behind the leaders of the block. This could land him a tie atop the block. So there's not a ton more to dissect in the data points since we've already looked at quite a bit in the overall block preview here. So, but I think it's important, something worth checking out here is that Shingo Takagi is quietly having a year, you know, 2020, where his matches run pretty long. His average match length in 2020 is 19 minutes and 16 seconds, and that's pretty significant over the course of 12 matches. It is a little shorter than Okada. Okada's at 20 minutes and 28 seconds, but that's actually pretty short for Okada when it comes down to it. Okada is typically known for going pretty long, and this year's G1 has actually reduced his average match length significantly, whereas Shingo's still living right in that same range. His average match length, 19.08, during the G1. So something to keep an eye on, whether Takagi can keep up that kind of pace or if that ends up giving him the stamina to win some of these longer matches. Right now, his average winning match length is 2 minutes and 26 seconds longer than his average loss. Like I said, this is their first ever singles match. This is definitely one that people marked on their calendars when the cards came out, and to do it in a main event from Osaka. The Osaka crowd was really engaged in those first two G1 block cards, so I'm hopeful for another really engaged crowd, potentially giving Kazuchika Okada some extra energy, or really, really, really giving this match some fire, the fire it deserves as a first-time dream match. In the semi-main event, we'll have Kota Ibushi facing Minoru Suzuki. Kota Ibushi coming in with 8 points, Minoru Suzuki coming in with 6. This is a match between two guys who both lost their last match. Suzuki's on a 2-match losing streak, Kota Ibushi just that one, and Suzuki's looking to at least tie Ibushi, potentially tie everyone at those 8 points, and be a part of that leading group. In total match length, Ibushi's right up there. He's 1 hour, 46 minutes, and 19 seconds. Suzuki, relatively efficient at 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 4 seconds. Ibushi's longest loss was 21:56, and Suzuki's was 14:26. Both have positive win-loss differentials. Ibushi's at 5:13, and Suzuki is at 3:30. Both these guys have a lot of G1 Climax history. Ibushi 31-22 overall currently, and Suzuki 38-33-2 with the two draws. So, less than 1 hour of total match length separates these two. So Ibushi's got 14 hours and 26 minutes of total match length, where Suzuki has 15 hours and 21. In 2020, both these guys are 5-5, actually, so at 500, looking to improve upon that and put them on the right track to have a nice tail end of the year. They have faced once. This is not a first-time match. They've faced once. It was during G1 Climax 2013. It was from Ryogoku Sumo Hall, and Minoru Suzuki was the winner in that match in 13 minutes and 37 seconds. G1 Climax 23. From 2013, that is one of the better G1 Climax tournaments to go back and watch, because you see, quite a bit of evolution from a lot of these wrestlers, and a lot of these guys that are in this year's tournament are still competing in the G1. The mid card of the block matches will feature Will Ospreay versus Taichi. Will Ospreay entering with 8 points, and Taichi entering with 6. Ospreay is on a 3-match winning streak. Taichi's looking to stop a 2-match losing streak. Ospreay has already matched his output from last year's G1 with 8 points already in this year's tournament. And Taichi, with one more win, will match his tournament last year. So they're both positioned to improve upon their tournaments last year. In overall G1, so we can kind of look at this, because these guys have the same number of matches. They both participated in their first G1 last year, so they've both had 15 G1 Climax matches. Taichi is 7-8, Will Ospreay is 8-7. Will Ospreay, though, average match length 16 minutes and 23 seconds. So his total match length over an hour longer than Tai Chi's at 4 hours, 5 minutes, and 46 seconds. Tai Chi just crossed the 3-hour threshold, so which is a threshold that it looks like Tetsuya Naito may cross this year. So pretty short match times for Tai Chi. He looks to get out quickly, it seems. Year to date, 2020, they're both sitting at 500. Will Ospreay is 4-4. Tai Chi is 5-5. Of course, both looking to set themselves up to have a nice strong back quarter of the year here. They have faced each other 3 times, and it's an interesting evolution or progression, if you will. So in 2017, Tai Chi defeated Will Ospreay during the Best of the Super Junior tournament, Best of Super Junior 24. In 2018, they wrestled at RevPro Strong Style Evolved, and that was also a Tai Chi victory. And then in 2018, Will Ospreay finally defeated Tai Chi for the NEVER Openweight number one contendership. That was during the World Tag League Tour, and it ended up leading to Will Ospreay's match with Kota Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom. So an interesting evolution from Best of Super Junior, so junior heavyweight, NEVER Openweight, so that's the openweight, kind of the middle section, and now finally a G1 match, which is kind of the quintessential heavyweight tournament. So these guys have kind of quickly grown into their own together. Ospreay making it clear that he's here to stay in the heavyweight division, and truthfully, Tai Chi doing the same. Tai Chi's looked really good in this tournament. He is on track to at least match his win-loss output from last year and potentially come out ahead of it. So this will be a defining match for, I think, both of these guys as this tournament goes forward. Second G1 block match of the night will be Jay White versus Yujiro Takahashi. I'm not even going to talk about statistics here because it's pretty clear who the better wrestler is. It's definitely Jay White that speaks in the record as well as just their history. But when it comes down to it, this match, the thing to look out for in this match is whether Yujiro Takahashi is acting as a subordinate to Jay White. So Evil has talked a bit about Jay White and criticized Jay White a little bit for trusting Yujiro, trusting Bullet Club, trusting the people around him. So it'll be kind of a fascinating thing to watch for is whether Yujiro fights fair, fights unfair, uses other Bullet Club friends to try to win this match against Jay White. Like I said, if Yujiro wins this, that does maybe set us up to have all these guys at 8 points except for Yujiro and Cobb. So maybe a wrinkle worth keeping an eye on. But the real thing to keep an eye on is the actions, not necessarily the statistics of these guys. And the first G1 block match of the night will be Tomohiro Ishii versus Jeff Cobb. Two big beefy boys likely going to beat the hell out of each other. Ishii's entering this match at 6 points, Jeff Cobb with 4. Cobb not technically eliminated, likely doesn't have a path to a victory, but the math allows for him to still be in the hunt. So you got to expect that these guys are both still fighting for something. Ishii definitely still in the thick of it. Ishii with his 3-match win streak right now as well, surging forward, potentially, he's going to be a player on the last night of block competition. So, and that's all anyone can really ask for is have something to fight for on that last night. They have faced each other 3 times in the past over the course of 2018 and 2019. Their first match was at OTT Scrapper Mania in Dublin, Ireland. Their second match was just a little over a month after that at WrestleCon in New Orleans, Louisiana, United States. And then they faced each other in last year's G1 Climax tournament, their first NJPW match, and that was an Ishii victory at Ota City General Gymnasium. I don't think I mentioned Ishii's actually won all 3 of their matches together. So potentially Jeff Cobb, that's something for him to fight for too, is, finally avenging those 3 losses. Whew, okay. We went a little bit long today. We are coming up on our G1 Climax block match time limit of 30 minutes, so I am going to get out of here. We have previewed all five of the block matches. We talked a little bit about weighted block win probability, some key tiebreakers, as well as just the general standings and what goes into how we're looking at the probability. We may be a little refreshed. We had one day off, but I mean, here we go. We're down to the final stretch. We're in the back third of the tournament, and I will be here every day as we go through that together. Of course, you can find this preview in written form at sportofprowrestling.com or voicesofwrestling.com. And I would love it if you drop me a follow on Twitter at @thechrissampsa. I will be up watching this show. I'm very excited about this one. I'm very curious where we're headed. I appreciate you giving me a listen, and I will see you next time on the Sport of Pro Wrestling podcast.